I'm Dan Rodericks, and this is Midday. There are so many cars and drivers with long commutes that federal transportation officials warn that traffic like that on a major holiday might someday be the everyday norm for many Americans. Workers in the Baltimore region face one of the longest average commuting times in the nation, and for people who use public transportation, the time it takes getting to and from work is even worse. That analysis of commuting data arrives within days of Maryland Governor Larry Hogan's decision to kill the Red Line, a light rail system designed to move people east and west across the city and alleviate some of the traffic on the Beltway. Today on Midday, what Hogan's decision means for transportation and for economic development in Baltimore and the region. First, the news. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Midday. Dan Rodericks here. Happy to be with you, and thank you for making Midday part of your day. On Thursday, Maryland Governor Larry Hogan announced that the state would not fund the Red Line, a 14.1-mile transit line across Baltimore. The project was expected to cost $2.9 billion and has been in the works for more than a decade. $900 million in federal funding already had been lined up for the project. Officials estimated that some 9,000 jobs would have been created during the construction phase of the project, and business leaders supported the Red Line as an opportunity for transit-oriented development along its 19 stops. Nine of the state's 10 federal legislators supported the Red Line. Hogan's decision stops the project. But Larry Hogan said of the Red Line, he says it makes no sense whatsoever. That's a quote. He called it a boondoggle. And his transportation secretary, Pete Rahn, said the Red Line's fatal flaw, that's his words, fatal flaw, was the proposed construction of a tunnel on the southeast side of the city. Governor Hogan's decision comes as an analysis of federal census data shows that workers in the Baltimore region have one of the worst commute times in the country. The analysis by the Associated Press shows that drivers in the Baltimore region get where they're going on average in 29 minutes, the fourth slowest in the country. Carpoolers face an average 31-minute commute, while public transit riders clock in at about 55 minutes on average. Only workers in places like New York, Washington, Southern California, and San Francisco face longer average commutes. There are so many cars and drivers with long commutes that federal transportation officials warn that traffic rivaling a major holiday might someday be the everyday norm for Americans. Public transportation, including the Red Line, has always been seen as a way to reduce congestion around here, across the city and the region, and on the Beltway. Today, we'll pick up on the governor's decision again and hear what it means for transportation and economic development in Baltimore and the region. State Senator Catherine Pugh will be joining us, chairman of the city's Senate delegation. We'll also hear from two members of the House of Delegates, Sandy Rosenberg and Maggie McIntosh, chair of the House Appropriations Committee. But I want to start the program with Jay Brody, M.J. Brody, longtime director of economic development for Baltimore, who retired in 2012 and writes about development for the Baltimore Business Journal. Wanted you here to talk about this and get your reaction to this decision. Hello, Jay.
Good morning, Dan.
So your reaction on Thursday hearing this news?
Well, I was surprised and disappointed, but I've thought about it a good deal. And where I am today is I haven't given up on the governor, who has my thoughts and prayers for his recovery from the cancer that he courageously told us about last week. And I haven't given up on the Red Line. I really think the governor was very poorly advised on this issue, and I can tell you why. The quote that you picked up, which I underlined, Secretary of Transportation saying the tunnel was the fatal flaw.
Yes.
That simply betrays his lack of experience in American cities. We're not talking about the Wild West here. We're talking about 200-year-old built-up cities like Boston and New York and Philadelphia and Baltimore. And in all of those cities, when faced with how do we do mass transit, they have historic areas, they have small streets. And the answer is you put key sections in a tunnel. So to say that the fatal flaw of the Red Line is because there's a tunnel under downtown and under historic Fells Point is simply not a smart thing to say. So if the governor's decision is based in part on that, in itself, that's reason to reconsider.
Talk a little bit about the economic development, since that was your field, economic development in Baltimore. Some people think that was overstated, the potential that a red line has to create economic development beyond the construction phase.
Well, we haven't had a lot of transit-oriented development in Baltimore. And why do you think that is? Because we haven't had enough transit. There's no developer who sees a bus stop as a hot place to be to build either new housing or commercial or whatever. A whole difference comes in the developer's mind when they see light rail. And you can see that. My favorite example, I suppose, is the fast-track regional system under construction in and around Denver, led by current governor John Hickenlooper, but begun when he was mayor. And there's no better model than that, both for the system itself and the transit-oriented development that's coming right now. So Baltimore is miles behind here. The red line would make an enormous difference.
And if this doesn't happen, where do we go from there? Is there any other transit, any hope for another transit project of this scale?
Well, I think I've read everything that's been written since last Thursday. I don't see anything like an alternative. I believe the county executive, Kevin Kamenetz, said, what is the alternative? And otherwise, the whole region's going to be in gridlock, if I remember his comments. I think they're very much to the point, along with your comments about the commute. So I don't know what an alternative is. I would hope that the governor might rethink. Instead of having pressed the delete button, you're familiar with the delete button?
Oh, sure, yeah.
That he would reconsider and press the pause button. The pause might do a couple things. I would love him to pick up the phone and speak to Governor Hickenlooper in Colorado as to what the advantages that Denver is already accruing, not just Denver, but the counties around Denver. I would like him to get the finest tunnel experts in America to look at the way the tunnel under the city has been designed and see if it might be designed better or less expensively or more efficiently. Has that been done? I'm unaware that any kind of such study has been done. So I think there are things that, with a pause button, one might look carefully at the red line, certainly before giving up, you know, the studies, the planning, and the federal money.
Jay Brody, longtime director of economic development for Baltimore, will be with us for the whole hour here on Midday. I want to go to two people now. Senator Catherine Pugh. Kathy Pugh is chair of the city's Senate delegation. Nice to have you on the show, Senator Pugh.
Thank you.
And joining us by phone is Sandy Rosenberg, a state delegate from Baltimore City and counties. Sandy, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure to be with you.
I'm going to start, since Sandy's on the phone and only with us briefly, let me just start with you for your reaction to the governor's decision and then the question, what do we do now?
Well, the governor's decision is very disappointing for the reasons that Jay Brody just pointed out. And even more disappointing is he made no effort to say, well, we're not going to have the red line, or he doesn't think that's sound, but what's the alternative? What is he proposing to address the serious transportation problems that we have as a jurisdiction, as a region, not just Baltimore City? He could have said, I recognize that it's difficult under our current public system for people to get to job centers. Social Security in Woodlawn, BWI in Anne Arundel County, Amazon in Southeast Baltimore, and I want my transportation secretary to have a plan for a real system, improved bus service for these centers and all other such centers by Labor Day. We need to deal with systemic problems in the city and the region, and there was no effort thus far by the governor to do that.
And Kathy Pugh, you know, we had instead the governor putting money into road projects out in the counties and actually for a time they were releasing a map tweeting out a map that didn't even include Baltimore City in terms of where all this money was going to go.
Yeah, well, let me just say a couple of things. First, thank you, Jay, for being here. I consider him one of the gurus of economic development in our country, actually. But you're absolutely right. First of all, what he said was no red line in this current form. And so I'm asking for the pause button as well, because I'm not giving up on the red line. We had a meeting this morning with the city delegation. The mayor participated, as well as the congressional folks participated. And our message is that, you know, as you just said, put a pause button, press the pause button, as Jay has said, press the pause button, and let's rethink this. Because if you're saying in this current form, are you saying that there's an issue with the tunnel? Then let's talk about how we fix that particular issue. But when you talk about the economic opportunity that results from this, 19 stops, billions of dollars of economic development in the future, and you can't continue to talk about Baltimore City being the engine that drives the rest of the state and not have the kind of transportation that is needed in order for us to continue to grow as a city. When the mayor or anybody talks about how we're going to grow our city, certainly transportation is a factor. And as you mentioned, we can't have higher travel time than any other jurisdiction or city in the country and be able to get people back and forth to work. People want to go to work, and we have to have it. So, no, I'm saying press the pause button. Let's have a conversation, which is what we're going to be asking for from the governor. Let's sit down, talk. Let's bring in the experts so that we can move this project forward.
Well, Senator Pugh and Delegate Rosenberg, did you get to have a conversation with the governor before this decision about the red line?
No, we did not. We actually, as a delegation, before we left session, met with the transportation secretary, and we asked him to continue to move this project forward. We've not had any response. There's supposed to be a 45-day notice, and I think that if Maggie's on the phone, she can talk to you about that. Before anything happens with a project like this, that notification to the chairs of budget and taxation have not been given. So, you know, we're very concerned. You know, again, we all wish the governor well in his illness and so forth, but this is crucial and essential for Baltimore City and the region and the state of Maryland in order for our city to continue to move forward economically.
Sandy Rosenberg, so the clock is ticking now. I mean, we have a federal commitment and we have various federal approvals. We've come a long way with this project here, but now that the governor says no, I guess this all jeopardized, right?
It is jeopardized unless he reconsiders, as Senator Pugh pointed out. And I think that this is so crucial for the region, not just Baltimore City, and that is of great importance and benefit to the state, so that perhaps he will reconsider. We're hearing this isn't just the city legislators who are all Democrats saying this. This is the business community saying this is something that is important. And we are saying it isn't engraved in stone. Let's look at the tunnel. Let's look at other aspects of it. The goal is to have a sound 21st century transportation system. Let's work together to achieve that.
Sandy Rosenberg, thank you very much for your time today.
Pleasure.
Yeah, and Catherine Pugh can stay with us for a few more minutes, right?
Yes.
Senator Pugh,
yes.
And Jay Brody is with us here. 410-662-8780 is our phone number here if you'd like to comment on this. Jay Brody.
Just to take Delegate Rosenberg's thought a little further, some of the comments I've seen by various members of the administration seem to think this was just a gift for Baltimore City. It's not. This is critical to the region, and I think the county executive was quick to pick up on what a loss it would be for people going to Woodlawn from wherever, from Cockeysville, you know, who are stuck on the Beltway, which is the end, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no way to relieve, essentially, the Beltway. So the notion of the region working together in a collaborative way, there's not a single decision that could produce that collaboration better than the red line.
Catherine Pugh, Kathy Pugh, a little stunned by the timing of this, coming as it does right after the unrest here in Baltimore City, taking this $3 billion investment off the table at this time. It's a bit stunning, isn't it?
It's quite stunning. And let me just say, less than a month ago, I sat across from President Obama and his transportation secretary asking about the red line, and as well as the purple line, because we're all in this together. The money is absolutely there. they expect us to move forward with this. So this was not just stunning. I think it startled everyone. And when you talk about the unrest that just took place in Baltimore City, and I think I think Martin Luther King said some years ago, by no means do we condone violence, but protest is the voice of the unheard. And there are people screaming for opportunities in our city who need to get to work, who need to get jobs. I just left Johns Hopkins Hospital talking about all the opportunities that they have there for employment. But people got to be able to get to work. And the big issue for them, people can't get to work on time. That's a problem in Baltimore City, and it becomes a problem for the state.
That was just a major point made by the Opportunity Collaborative under the Baltimore Metropolitan Council, their report on the lack of connectedness of the transit system and the inability to get people to work on time, especially out to the job centers like at BWI that Sandy mentioned, Hunt Valley, Southeast Baltimore, and the West Side. We need to take a break. We'll come back for more comments from Jay Brody and Senator Catherine Pugh, and also Delegate Maggie McIntosh will be joining us this hour, and you can too. I know how people feel about this from reading Facebook posts over the weekend. I'm going to read some of those, and I got some letters, some emails to read as well. Our email address is midday@wypr.org, 410-662-8780. Klaus Philipson, a contributor to Midday, Baltimore architect and a blogger who writes about community planning and architecture, says the story of the Red Line, a train to connect the rich and poor sides of Baltimore and would have had a strategic station in the heart of West Baltimore, should interest the entire country for the same reasons that the city became a matter of national interest. Killing an almost $3 billion investment for a city reeling from an unrest that occurred only 2 months ago, from a city that is almost 70% black, and then redistribute the money to pave all corners of our largely rural state where the white people live, that requires the chutzpah to take the state back to the 50s. Mm. It is only fitting, then, to pronounce roads and bridges as the center of a new transportation policy. From Klaus, you can send in, Klaus Philipson, an email to midday@wypr.org. I have others to read here. What do you think your approach is going to be to the governor now that he's made this decision? What elected official changes his mind or her mind after making such a bold and big decision?
Well, that's, I think, what is really shocking to most people. As I said this morning when we met, all of us, the mayor included, and the state officials as well as the congressional people, our discussion is to have the ending of that meeting this morning was to go and meet directly with the governor and to lay everything out on the line and ask him what are the alternatives in terms of the tunnel itself, not in terms of the red line, because we will be continuing to push the red line. And people say, well, why are you also in Baltimore so excited about the red line? I think if you've not ridden, as I think we had this discussion earlier, public transportation, then you probably don't feel as empathetic about this project as many of us do. If you're living in urban environments where you can't get from one side of town to the other, then you're probably not as empathetic as we are. But when you talk about passing gas taxes and all the things that go into or raising the fare box price so that we can underwrite certain projects, and that's what's been done over the years, and you put this money in place so that you can move projects like this forward. As you said earlier, this is not a project that came up willy-nilly, nor is it a boondoggle. This is something that has been studied. Communities have had input over a decade. It's time to move forward.
Jay Brody, I've seen the comment. That's Kathy Pugh, State Senator Kathy Pugh. And Jay Brody, I've seen the comment a number of times. Look at the light rail that we have now, north, south, Hunt Valley to Anne Arundel County through Camden Yards. Mm-hmm. Very few people ride it. It's got low ridership. Why should we build another one? I've heard this.
It was done on the cheap, as you may recall.
To get people to Camden Yards.
Yes.
Primarily.
On the cheap meant, to my amazement, I was not working in Baltimore at the time, it was done as a single line. So trains had to get off to make way for a train coming by.
Right.
No place in the country has anything like that been done.
Right.
And I think I might have chosen a slightly different route if I had been involved with it at the time.
People use it, though, to judge future light rail. See, they look at that and they say, well, is this going to be more of that?
Well, it's not fair to base a judgment on a flawed existing system, which isn't even a system. As you know, the metro doesn't connect with the light rail, and they don't connect very well with the bus system, which still, you know, reflects where the streetcars of my youth used to run.
Right.
So to create a real system, and the Red Line would be a great connecting tissue, which has not existed. The senator talked about East and West Baltimore. Even beyond that,
absolutely.
Bayview on the east to Woodlawn with Social Security and Medicare on the west, there's not been anything like that. And anyone who's driven in Baltimore, as I've driven most of my life, knows the east-west is the worst driving. So it's very hard to get across this 200-year-old city going east and west.
Kathy Pugh, before we go to the phone lines to take some calls to get comments from our listeners, could you talk a little bit about what you saw as the potential for the Red Line in the west side of Baltimore, since there's been so much attention given there since April?
Well, first of all, when you look at the city, there's very little retail strategy for neighborhoods and communities. Can you imagine what happens when you build something like a Red Line, the development of a retail strategy for the city so that communities can have what they need? It's also an economic opportunity for people to create businesses and business opportunities. I can see developers looking off of those stops and saying, you know, I'm interested in redeveloping this community. I mean, you think about the number of board of houses that we have in our cities that are off some of these areas, what that would look like 10 or 15 years from now when you talk about 19 stops across the city. When you go into those neighborhoods now where, you know, investment was made, and I just want to be real clear because people talk about what hasn't been done in Sandtown, Winchester, but there have been developments in Sandtown, Winchester that has resulted in home ownership and those kinds of things. I think people will look at the city a little bit differently in terms of the creation of home ownership opportunities as well in the city. And the retail strategy, the business development, the jobs that will result, I think will be tremendous.
Is that what you saw there, Jay? Poppleton area, for instance?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to take it from
Edmondson
from
Village.
West to east, Edmondson Village, Harlem Park, and Sandtown, Winchester, and Poppleton would be tremendous. It would be a new front door for those neighborhoods,
absolutely.
Not only for new housing, but for quality commercial, which doesn't exist.
Let's take some phone calls here, 410-662-8780. Catherine calling in from Western Maryland. Thank you for calling. You're on the Midday Show.
Hi, thank you. I think if there's all this money available to expand the Red Line needs to expand west and past Shady Grove so that we can look at the entire economic development issues across the state of Maryland and not just in certain sectors of the state of Maryland. You know, well, we may have the MARC line to Frederick, but that doesn't operate on the weekends, and nothing comes past Frederick. The Red Line stops at Shady Grove, so if anybody in Frederick or Hagerstown or Cumberland or Oakland want to go anyplace east and not drive, then we have to drive all the way to Shady Grove to get anywhere.
Okay, Catherine, you're talking about the Metro Red Line, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking
right.
about the Metro Washington. We're talking about the new unbuilt and so far not going to happen Baltimore Red Line, which is a light rail line that goes out to the west side of Baltimore County to the Social Security area. What am I trying to think of? Woodlawn. Yeah. And she brought that up. You know, I got a comment yesterday on Facebook from someone who says, this system doesn't go northwest. It doesn't go northeast. It doesn't go southwest. I mean, you're knocking the Red Line because of what it isn't. I don't understand how you could possibly think of putting all those systems in place with the money available. Now, there's only enough money for one system, right? Am I correct?
That is correct.
That's what we're just dealing with one at a time here,
yes,
right?
Somewhere at home, I have an old piece of paper called the Baltimore Region Rail Plan from some years ago, and it didn't happen. What happened was the one-line metro from extended to Hopkins in East Baltimore at a certain point, but essentially from downtown to Owings Mills, and then the light rail system out to Hunt Valley and to the airport. Those are useful. But to make a real system, you need connections from one to the other, and that the Red Line would bring those connections. Whether in the future there's extensions or possibilities, northwest, other places, right now what we've got in front of us is clear decision to move forward on transit or really to move backwards. I would hate to see the backwards.
You know, that's funny. You mentioned the Baltimore Regional Rail Plan. There's an email I wanted to read from Grant Corley, who's with Red Line now and has been a supporter of the Red Line. He points out that the Baltimore Regional Rail Plan, which goes back 50 years, it would have had 6 interconnected metro lines with a central hub downtown. You'll notice that even then, one of the spurs followed the same path of the red line we're talking about today. Of course, this being Baltimore, we blew it. From what I understand, conservative suburban voters rose up against the plan, fearing undesirables coming into their neighborhoods. They called it the loot rail. The state legislature whittled the plan from 6 lines down to the single metro spur we have today. That's what Jay's referring to. Mm-hmm. That was our shot at creating a perfect, seamlessly connected transit system, but that ship sailed long ago. Now here we are after the most recent round of civil unrest, and the state is once again turning its back on the city when we try to improve public transportation. And he goes on there. I can't read the whole thing, but this is another letter of bitter disappointment that the red line's been rejected.
Yeah. And I'm sure people are, and let me just say, and as they should be. And I wasn't around like Jay wasn't around those years ago when that system was proposed, but I think the point is today we can't go backwards. We have to move forward. And if you care about the city, and this is, and I can tell you, even though he talked about moving the purple line forward, I think that's also in jeopardy, to be honest with you, when you think about the funding and so forth. And everybody has to pitch in.
George's and Montgomery counties.
Right. Yeah. Everyone will pitch in. The fare box cost rising in Baltimore City will help pay for that as well. So I think it's important for all of us to come together and look at how do we continue this effort. And who throws away federal dollars? And I just don't think that the city can afford to do that. And again, as has been pointed out on the show several times, this is not just about Baltimore City. It's about us becoming one state, Maryland.
One last thing here from Grant Corley's letter. He says, our group, Redline Now, spent the last few years drumming up support for the project at a grassroots level. We regularly saw and heard comments from residents about the Red Line, like, enjoy getting robbed, and why don't you call it the crime line? The Red Line was one of the more progressive strategies this region had in a long time to bridge the economic and physical gaps in our city. It wasn't perfect, nothing is, but it was possible and far better than what we currently have, and now we've lost it.
Yeah, let's just be real clear. Baltimore is a microcosm of America. We have the very rich and the very poor. You know, we have Black, white, Native Americans, Latinos, we're Asians. This is a mixture of everybody in this city. And we're not talking about building a line just for any single race or population. We're talking about building a red line that's going to be better for all of us who live in the city, engage in the city, and those who want to come into the city, and those of us who have to travel outside of the city for jobs. This is about how do you improve a region? How do you make a city better? How do you invite more people to come into your city? How do we continue to interact and function as a population that cares about everybody? That's what this Red Line project is about, and that's why we're not giving up, and that's why we're saying, press the pause button, Governor.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy Pugh. State Senator Kathy Pugh is chair of the city Senate delegation. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
We'll take another call before our next break. Jay Brody's in the studio with us. Charles in Towson. Go right ahead with your comments.
Yes, just to be sure here, Baltimore is not a microcosm of anything except the fact that African-American fathers are absent. Now, it's the red line. The red line will not pay for itself. It will be empty, literally empty, between 7 p.m. and 6 a.m. It comes down to a public works issue. If the price tag or the bill at this point, the estimate of construction is $3 billion. And let's look to other public works projects, the Big Dig in Boston, whatever. All of these things come in heavy. The bottom line is this. Baltimore, as a culture, as a city, did a bad thing. Okay. I hope they're not 10 years in the penalty box, but they may well be. I love Baltimore, but I do not understand it.
Okay. Is it, what do you mean we're in the penalty box? Because there was a riot here on April 27th? Is that what you mean?
And by the way...
Is that what you mean? Charles, is that what
yes,
you
that's
mean?
What I mean. That's
okay.
What I mean.
I want to understand what you mean. All right. Okay. And what about the culture here? What does it have to do with public transportation?
It has to do with this. That is a plum that may or may not be awarded by the federal government. Okay. This thing, of course, it will come in over budget and whatever. But meanwhile, it will be absolutely empty between 7 p.m. and 6 a.m. It will
okay.
not pay for itself.
Well, how will that? What is it? How do you know this, Charles? How do you know? How do you even know that? You know, there's lots of armchair experts all of a sudden on this system. And I must say, here on Midday, we must have had we must have had 8 to 10 shows on the Red Line over the last few years, and I don't remember hearing as much opposition as I do now. I think these are mostly people who just support the governor. I think also there are people who don't take public transportation, don't have any interest in it, and think and consider it all a boondoggle.
Well, a boondoggle, I looked it up.
It's a wasteful public works project, right? Is that what it is?
Wasteful was one word in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Useless is another word. I don't think you can look at the Red Line. You can be critical. You can say it's not perfect. You can worry about the cost. How could you possibly say it is useless? That's the definition of a boondoggle.
Well, public transportation being useless overnight, I mean, is that the case for the metro in Washington, D.C., or the subway system? I mean, New York is a city that never sleeps. In Baltimore, we try to get some sleep around here. But nonetheless, there are still people who go to work off-peak hours and need public transportation. That was addressed in that Opportunity Collaborative report. I don't know. I'm curious if Charles ever takes public transportation.
Yes. Well, as you know, there are people going to work in hospitals in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
There are people on all sorts of shift work. Who, if the transportation were available and dependable, I have no doubt they would use it. That's what we haven't had, available and dependable.
Here's another email that reflects a similar sentiment to Charles. I'll read. This is from Mike, who says, good cities might be rewarded with new transportation projects, but riotous cities that don't know how to behave and require lots of wasted money on National Guard deployments probably don't deserve new expensive transportation projects. The governor probably expects to have to deploy the National Guard again. That's from Mike. So anyway, I'll just read these things as they come in so you understand where people are coming from and their opinions on this. 410-662-8780. Dan Roderick's here with Jay Brody, longtime economic development director for Baltimore City. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Midday. Dan Roderick's here with MJ Brody, former economic development director for Baltimore City. The Red Line has been on the drawing board 10, 12 years at least, right, Jay? At least 10 years. Here's a criticism Michael registers on Facebook. He says, I have to agree with the criticism that the lines didn't connect in the proposal, the lines, meaning metro, the existing light rail and bus lines. The current system is already disjointed. And to add another very expensive line that would disrupt two large communities, Canton and Fells Point, seems foolish. Why can't our leaders come up with a master plan to have a transit system that works as one system? Hogan made a tough decision. Yes, Baltimore would have benefited, but the Red Line would have just been another piece that didn't fit. So you want to comment about the plans?
Sure. I don't agree with that sentiment that you just read. Fells Point is part of the reason that the tunnel is extended beyond downtown to go under Fells Point, a great historic area in East Baltimore, and to not come up to the surface until it is east of Fells Point. So that is all part of the expense of the tunnel, but it's not new. It has been seen for years. There's an old saying, the perfect can be the enemy of the good. So can the Red Line solve all the connection disjointed problems that were there because the thoughtfulness was not given to the light rail relationship to the metro system? It can solve some of them. So there will be better connectedness with the Red Line than we have today. And a rethought bus system, not based on the old streetcar lines, but on a new analysis of where people live and where the jobs are. You went through, I think, earlier, BWI Corridor, Arundel Mills, White Marsh.
The new Amazon location.
Exactly. A really thoughtful analysis about redesigning a bus system that not only hooks up with the existing transit and hopefully the future Red Line, but works better from a job and housing relationship. We could do some much more creative things than the current bus system.
You know, as I said, we've done 7 to 8, maybe 10 shows on the Red Line over the years that I've been hosting Midday. And every time I approach it and look at it and read about it and talk to people about it, I realize how complex this was, how many factors go into the decision of the route, where the route was, where the stations are. I see the flaws. I see what it's not. It's not perfect, as other people have said. I don't know what system is perfect. We're not starting from scratch. You know, Baltimore was built without subway, without a tunnel years ago. We put in a metro system in the 1970s, right? That was a big dig that a lot of people were opposed to also. But there was no extensive underground system. We had to put one in place in the 70s. Now we're considering putting another one in place.
The cities, Dan, that we like to think of ourselves in Baltimore as competing with, Denver, Colorado, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, they have all been, I touched on the Denver example earlier because I think it's the absolute best. Those cities are all doing extensive light rail systems. Cities in car-addicted Texas, such as Houston and Dallas, are building light rail systems. Salt Lake City is building a light rail system. They have the advantage of slightly wider streets in the western parts of the United States, but it's a small advantage. But they see that the millennials, of whom we're attracting in Baltimore, and we hope to continue to attract to meet the mayor's goals of 10,000 new families, the millennials' first question is, do I want to live there? That's the first question in every poll I've seen, and I've seen many. And where I want to live means not having to be totally car dependent, to have walkable neighborhoods, to have transit. That is uppermost in the minds of the people who are making those decisions. And we need to be competitive with the other cities that are equally or more attractive. To not be competitive is making a very foolish decision about our future.
George echoes your sentiment. George, posting on Facebook, says Baltimore has really missed the boat for a Northeast city in terms of public transportation. I mean, looking at Boston, Philadelphia, and New York, those of us who moved here from other cities find it baffling and very frustrating, meaning this decision. Let's take another call here. Delegate Eric Ebersole, the 12th District in Baltimore County, giving us a ring on midday. Delegate, thank you for calling.
Yeah, good afternoon. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
A pretty simple point I just want to make is that most of the people we've had are city delegates, and the city delegation meets on this issue. I represent Southwest Baltimore County and a little bit of Howard County, but we're fully in support. This kind of development is exactly the kind we need to really, you know, spur economic development in the entire Baltimore region. And so I sort of echo County Executive Kevin Cabinets' words, sort of what Catherine Pugh said also, that if this is going to take the back seat, then what's the alternative? We're not stopping here. You know, we need to find out exactly what alternatives will be acceptable. But I don't think we should give up yet either.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Delegate Ebersole. I just wonder, where do you think this decision comes from? Is this Larry Hogan, who was elected last November, looking at his political base and saying, my political base has no interest in public transportation? I have nothing to lose by dropping this plan. It's no big skin off my nose. Or maybe does it speak to his relationship with the mayor of Baltimore? Can you address that? I'm sorry to ask you these questions on the radio, but these are the things on people's minds. They wonder, you know, where is this coming from? Is this just pure politics? Does this have to do with the feud with the mayor?
We have difficulty unpacking what some of the governor's motivations are. Actually, we've seen them change. I don't want to go off topic here, but in terms of settling the budget and that, we saw some change of attitude. And I wasn't real surprised by this because throughout, whenever we talked about the two lines, the purple line and the red line was always sort of an afterthought with people. I repeatedly said, let's keep them on equal footing. I know the purple line's farther along in terms of its development. But as for the governor's motivation, I have difficulty really unpacking, what he thinks here, other than that the city may not be as much of a priority right now.
Yeah. Delegate Ebersole, thank you very much. Eric Ebersole from Baltimore County, the 12th District.
And yeah, thanks a lot for taking my call.
Appreciate hearing from you from the Baltimore County and Howard County, his district is in. Let's go to the phone lines. Richard in Baltimore with your comment, please. Hi.
Hi, Dan. Thank you for taking my call. My comment is simply that it seems that if we're going to build a system that's going to serve the entire region, we're going to probably need more than the one tunnel that was referred to in Fells Point. I think that the ability to put together a comprehensive system that would serve the entire area is somewhat inhibited by the fact that many railroad tracks are running underground and in tunnels, And I just wonder how much the railroad lobby has to do with this. I'll take the answer off the air.
Jay, I mean, if any insight there, I don't know that the, is there an issue with the tunnel that's planned for the Red Line with any other underground line?
I don't believe so.
I don't think that's an issue there. Let's go to David, who wanted to talk about the tunnel. David, thanks for calling in.
Hi. I've been an enthusiast for public transport for all my life, but I felt that the criticism of the tunnel and its failure to connect in a meaningful way with the metro, it's been voiced. I think there were letters in the Sun from Ben Rosenberg, a respected attorney, but these kind of criticisms have been poo-pooed. But I think they're very, very serious. And also the predictions about transit-oriented development, I think they need to be tempered with a look at reality. I mean, the amount of transit-oriented development that's come around the metro stops has been pretty minimal, other than the David S. Brown Building in Owings Mills and the Symphony Center next to the Meyerhof. I don't know of much private transit-oriented development in Baltimore. Am I wrong about that? I think...
Let's go to Jay on that, then. That's a good question, David.
No, there hasn't been much, as you pointed out. Even in Washington, with their WMATA, the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit System, which I'm very familiar with and used regularly for 12 years of my career, the transit-oriented development was slow to come. People wanted to see enough transit, frankly, to have confidence to developers, to start to have the confidence to build. But once that confidence started to take hold, you know, they were under construction for a very long time in Washington, and they did a very messy construction technique because it was cheaper at the time, called cut and cover. So whole neighborhoods of Washington were dug up, and there was wood planks put down over the cuts for the subway. This would not be anything like that. The whole tunnel technology has advanced considerably, so there wouldn't be the kind of disruption we've seen in Washington. But I think developers, like all of us, need to see the physical aspect moving forward. Then you have interest.
Jimmy Rouse is with Transit Choices here in Baltimore. And Jimmy was on our show a few weeks ago talking about the need to better connect people in inner city Baltimore and some of the poorer neighborhoods with the jobs that they need or need to get to on time to in the suburbs, better connecting people to work. Jimmy Rouse on the show, I asked him, you know, I assume that he's disappointed with the Red Line decision by Governor Hogan. I just, you know, wonder what his thoughts are about what happens next. Hello, Jimmy. Jimmy, you there? Jimmy Rouse. Hello, Jimmy. Sorry. He was all set up to be on the air with us, and I don't know where he is. Maybe you can call him back, or Jimmy will call back. Here's an email from Robert. He says, while I disagree with the governor's pro-highway stance, I have a hard time understanding why the Red Line was going to be a great benefit to the city. It didn't seem to have any clear purpose. As a means of moving people from outside the city to in it, it's essentially a duplication of the existing metro subway. No, this goes out to Route 70 out in Woodlawn. You have to look on a map there, Robert.
That's simply not accurate. The driving force of the Red Line is to connect people to jobs. People in the city, people in the county, jobs in the city, jobs in the county. There couldn't be a more direct relationship.
Grenville writes in to say that unless Governor Hogan thinks big and acts big, this moment will slip away. I'm talking about calling the General Assembly into special session to fund large-scale public employment, large capital projects, and free training for a variety of skilled labor jobs. Well, you can talk about that, but he just said no to one such project that was estimated to create some 9,000 jobs during the term of its construction. 410-662-8780, Blima in Owings Mills. You're on the air next. Hello. Go ahead, Blima.
Yeah, hi, Dan. Mm. My question is, why can't we put small buses, energy efficient, electric, whatever, just like some college campuses have it, some cities have it, on that exactly the same spot as the Red Line and see how we fare with that? in the morning or evening when the rush hour occurs, those buses could be bigger. Otherwise, during the day, as I can see, buses empty driving back and forth could be, small ones could be utilized. Is that a possibility?
Well, the reason cities, and I mentioned a few earlier, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Houston, Dallas, you could throw in Charlotte, North Carolina also is building a light rail system. The reason they're pursuing it is several, which we haven't touched on exactly. We've touched on lots of other things. It's to move large numbers of people in densely built up metropolitan areas and to move them in a cleaner and greener way. So they are not adding to the air pollution, and they're responding to the desire of young people for that kind of transportation versus one person in one car. So it is a combination of things that we're seeing nationally. I hate to see Baltimore not be part of that future-looking vision and how to get there.
More comments about the Red Line from listeners. Larry Hogan has thrown away an enormous chance to start the beginning of a true Baltimore metro, writes Stephen, one that could transform the city and the region. Dave says, to paraphrase Lewis Mumford, building more roads as a cure to congestion is like a fat man curing his obesity by loosening his belt. This is one of the reasons I voted against Larry Hogan. I knew he would kill the Red Line. Carol says he's making the same mistake as Bob Ehrlich, acting as though a victory over an unpopular Democratic candidate constitutes a mandate for the full-on Republican agenda. He won't get a second term, but there will be a lot of damage before the next election. Back to the phone lines. Grant in Baltimore. Is this Grant Corley by any chance?
No.
Oh, it's another Grant. Oh, I'm sorry. Go right ahead, Grant.
Yeah. So I live up in the 21214, like Hamilton, Lauraville. So I lived in D.C. for a long time, actually grew up there, lived in New York for a long time. Great subway systems in D.C. and New York. The stuff that they're proposing in Baltimore doesn't look anything like a real subway in any other city. And I think someone mentioned earlier on the show, we need a master plan of a subway system, an actual system that takes people where they live to where they want to go and vice versa. The subway, the Red Line, looks to me, and a lot of people, which is why they oppose it, that all it's doing is it's a social justice project to take people from the west side and deposit them downtown.
Okay.
And people haven't addressed this whole crime issue, which is the main reason that Governor Hogan feels at ease to kill the program.
Thank you, Grant. Thank you. I knew we'd get that today. We got that from a couple of callers today. That, you know, you're importing crime to Baltimore City in a quicker way by having a new light rail. Of course, they said that about the present light rail system. I mean, didn't you say the trend is toward light rail in cities across America and not subways?
It is absolutely the trend, in part because the dollars that funded a Washington metro system, which were largely federal, are simply not available anymore. I would like to make sort of end where we began, if I may. I think Governor Hogan is a decent and honorable man. I think he had very poor advice on this issue, including, frankly, a rush to judgment when there was no reason to rush to make a judgment call by the end of June, rather than to take a more thoughtful and collaborative approach in talking to the legislature, like Senator Pugh, who was here a little while ago, and Delegate Rosenberg and Delegate McIntosh, and that wasn't done. So I don't know why there was such a rush to judgment. I think a calm, deliberative look at the Red Line will inevitably show you that the benefits far outweigh the cost. And I would hope that Governor Hogan, as a decent and honorable man, would take a rare position, and I understand that, for an elected person in American life to make that decision.
Well, he did say Red Line as currently designed will not be built. So maybe that's the opening that's needed there. Jay Brody, thanks for being here. Appreciate having you on the show. Thank you. MJ Brody, who served for many years as Economic Development Director of Baltimore City and still contributes to the Baltimore Business Journal. Right? I've read your stuff.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Jay. And thank you, everybody, for tuning into our first hour and contributing to it. Please stay tuned for another hour of Midday coming up. Right now, we take a break for Monday's lunch brought to us by Rosina Gourmet. Since 1999, Rosina has served handmade, locally sourced ingredients for their sandwiches, soups, salads, and vegetarian items. See rosinagourmet.com for more info.